time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. And welcome to my series on outdoor vacations across America. So here's the deal. I'm not a bucket list guy because I enjoy every day of life. But here's what you must do. You must create a bucket list, put this place on the top of your bucket list, and whether you ever continue it or not, you've achieved one of the greater places on earth to be. So today it's all about Yellowstone National Park. I consider it my outdoor playland, and I'll get to that in a little bit. Think about how neat this is. It is 2 million acres surrounded by 3 million acres of the greater Yellowstone region. It is pretty spectacular. It is a place where you can turn off your cell phones, turn off your music devices, and just enjoy nature as it's supposed to be. This show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Let's talk about how Yellowstone started a little bit, and then we'll get into the beauty of Yellowstone. Well, Yellowstone was our first national park. It was created by Teddy Roosevelt. What had happened was, before it was a national park, Teddy Roosevelt wanted a place that he can bring kings and queens to because he was a big-time hunter, and he wanted to show them a magnificent, spectacular place. To do this, he created a log cabin. And again, I've been in many log cabins. This is the most impressive structure I have ever seen. You walk into, because it's now the lodge at Yellowstone near Old Faithful, and you walk in and you look up from the inside, and it's 100 feet straight up. Now think about this. A log cabin with a 100-foot ceiling on the inside. The fireplaces, you can actually take, because they don't burn fires in them anymore, you can actually take family photos, probably of 20 people, inside a fireplace. That's how spectacular it is. But what Teddy Roosevelt was doing was, you know, bringing places because he liked to hunt and show off all the different things that nature had to offer there. And Yellowstone, two-thirds of the world's geysers in the entire world are at Yellowstone National Park. So as time went on, Teddy Roosevelt decided to save and preserve this area, so it became our first national park. Here's the deal. You can go out there for the nature, the beauty, the animals, the geothermal, such as Old Faithful, and I'll get into all that and the geology that goes along with that. If you happen to be a fly fisherman, and I happen to be a big one, it is the place to be. It is a postcard in every direction. And I know, and I've been in plenty of places in America where you look one way, you see a beautiful picture. You see, well, I'm telling you, in Yellowstone, it doesn't matter where you go at any point in time. You turn in one direction and take a picture, and it is postcard-like. It is just stunning. Well, here's the reason why I would always call it my summer playground or playland. You know, when I was doing my grizzly bear research, I was in the Beartooth Mountains right outside of Yellowstone. So as soon as I was done, I'd zip down to Yellowstone, hang out there, and I'd fly fish. But, you know, my deal with fly fishing is, you know, there's so many just, and I'll get into the animals. There's so many just beautiful things, geothermals to see. And when I was done with my non-native plant species, my research in Idaho, I spent 3 summers out there. Every time I was finished, I was only an hour and a half from Yellowstone, and I'd zip over there. And so Yellowstone became, every summer, I would just spend so much time in Yellowstone. So, I've guided family and friends through there. I can't claim to be a professional guide out there, but I'm sure that if somebody was to look to hire me, I can do a pretty decent job out there. I'd say this. Here's probably the best description, and then you'd understand it. I'd be fly fishing in a river, standing there, my waders, and I have to stop because 200 buffalo decide to walk through the river 50 feet away from me, 20 feet away from me, and they could care less about me, and I could care less about fly fishing at that point, and I am just viewing nature. It is just magnificent. And, you know, you stop fishing because you look up and there's a bull elk with his tines, his antlers, and you're looking at him with the summer velvet on it. It's just spectacular. But the one thing we need to realize, and this becomes a problem at Yellowstone all the time, is here's my warning. Wild animals, they are, wild. Could you imagine that? You need to make good decisions. That's why we invented zoom lenses for cameras. Every year, we have people that get too close to buffalo, get too close to moose. I consider moose the schizo animal because moose are just monstrous, magnificent animals. Cool little fact, their antlers are the fastest growing cell of any mammal. They will grow each antler up to 75 pounds a year. So once they fall off, by the next year, they've added 150 pounds of brand new antler. That's pretty magnificent. But when you get too close to them, sometimes they just decide to run into you. That's probably not a good thing. I hear getting dead is not a good thing. And the same thing with buffalo. I have seen people, you know, there's a small little herd of buffalo on the side of the road. I have seen like families get out and they figure like this is the perfect like family photo or a selfie or something. And they're getting 20 feet, 10 feet from buffalo, and they're wild animals. So we need to, you know, be respectful of that. And you know what? I don't think you can outrun any of these animals. So if that's the case, I mean, if you're having to be a world-class sprinter, maybe you'll take that, but I probably would not. And I also, my recommendation would be to bring extra SD cards, extra batteries for your camera, because it's funny, sometimes you plan on being out here for, you know, X amount of hours, and you run into the next magnificent thing or the next magnificent animal, and you're going, holy moly, holy moly. So I have seen plenty of people ran into them going, oh, I can't believe it. I don't have any more SD cards. Oh, my batteries ran out. And I'm going to tell you, you will take more photos here than any place on earth. And I'll give you a couple cool examples. Every year, one of my favorite animals happen to be trumpeter swans. Swans, not swams. Swans. And if I go near the West Gate, I know that I can find trumpeter swans. Got it? There. I know if I go to the Lamar Valley early in the morning or early evening, I can hear wolves, see wolves. When you get out there, you will actually have a number of scientists with their spotting scopes out there, and they'll let you see wolves up close and personal. You know, you want to see grizzly bears, you go up to Mount Washburn, you know, early evening up till dark, and you'll see grizzly bears, even some black bears coming out, but you see grizzly bears coming out there. You know, everywhere you go, you're going to see buffalo and elk. I mean, everywhere. But if you wanted to see buffalo, you can get down to the Hayden Valley. And I remember one time, after my research, a friend of mine had flown out there because he was getting into fly fishing, and I was going to guide him through there. And we went down to the Hayden Valley, and I saw my one and only stampede of buffalo. I mean, hundreds of buffalo stampeding through this pass. One of the more magnificent sights, and I know I've used the word magnificent many times so far in this show, but let me say this. It is magnificent. Wherever you go along the rivers, you will see bald eagles. You know, it's funny. There are many people that have never seen bald eagles. You go here and you're going, and once again, don't take nature for granted. You'll see bald eagles just about everywhere along some waterways. One of my favorite animals happens to be bighorn sheep. And, you know, at a distance, you probably, unless you're a hiker, you will see them. When I was in the Beartooth Mountains right outside, cool story about them. I was up about 9,000 feet. And there's two bighorn sheeps, I don't know, 20 feet from me. So I just click a picture, and I take a step, a tiny step toward them, and they take one step back. And I wait a little bit, take a few more pictures, take one step. They took one step back. They decided the distance. See, again, this is treating nature and respecting nature. They decided the distance. And the distance was fine by me, and I got to take some great photos of them up there. And another one of my favorite, we'll call them up mountain animals, happen to be mountain goats. And if you're hiking up the trails high up, you will get you'll get a chance to see a few of them. And you also have mountain lions. And mountain lions, the word is elusive. They are not seen unless they choose to be seen. I would also say this. Whether you're hiking for the day, fishing for the day, just enjoying going out to see the geothermal features, whatever you're doing, follow all food rules, all right? You want to make sure that you're safe, and there are a list of rules. Well, what do I do when I have food in my pack? What do I do if I have food in my backpack as I'm doing overnight? So food rules, definitely follow them. And I would say listen and learn from all the park rangers. They have so many different talks. They are, we'll call them many experts. There are some people that just do buffalo talks, some people that just do geothermal talks. And as you start to sort of piece the puzzle together, if you listen to a number of them, when they're doing a talk somewhere, it is worthwhile to listen to them. And for those of you that say, well, I know pretty much about this, I'm going to tell you, you can always, always learn. Now, if you're a hiker, I recommend day hikes, because the neat thing about a day hike is this. You can put a lot of miles in, see some beauty, come back, you're motelling up, you know, showering up. And hey, let me tell you, and I've backpacked, and actually my grizzly bear research was living in a backpack for months. But as day hikes to me, it's like you get back to a motel, you shower, you get to swim in a pool, you get to go out for a nice meal, and then you get to go do it all over again. You go, you know, have selected your next day hike, and you're out there. Once again, if you're backpacking or camping, follow all the rules. And I would say, and it goes not just for Yellowstone, but specifically because you're in the Rockies, before you get to Yellowstone, work on your personal fitness. Prior to Yellowstone, get out. If you're a day hiker, fill your pack with whatever you're going to be hiking with. If you're a backpacker, fill your backpack with whatever you're going to be hiking with, and hike some streets and some trails, and get out there and increase your level of fitness, because I assure you that you will absolutely, absolutely, you're going to need to be fit when you get there. So let's turn our attention toward, you know, why many people go there, and that's the geothermals. And right away, people would say geysers. Well, geothermals happen to be features, and geysers happen to be one of them, where what happens is this. Consider there's some water underground, and the water underground is at 425 degrees F. And it should be a gas at this point, but there's so much pressure, it's holding it and forcing it as a liquid. And since it's forcing it as a liquid, pressure builds up. And as the pressure builds up, we call it a pipe. It's not a real pipe, part of the earth. And the water will be forced out, and henceforth, that's where you actually get the sometimes a flash of steam. Sometimes you're getting the water going up, and as soon as it comes out and some of it is turning to, because it's cooler now, and no less pressure, and it's turning to a gas, and up it goes. And yes, we know the most famous geyser, not the largest one, the most famous geyser happens to be Old Faithful. When I first started to go to Yellowstone, you go into the lodge, where I was explaining before what Teddy Roosevelt had built. You go into the lodge, and there is a fake clock there, and they would just say, you know, Old Faithful will go off at, and there'd be these little hands there, and it would be every 44 minutes. Now, watch how cool geology is. There was an earthquake in Alaska. Think about how far that is. And it changed the geology straight through of Montana, Wyoming. Now, Old Faithful goes off at about every 95 minutes. It's funny. You go back into the lodge where it used to say every 44 minutes in the clock, and they would just manually move the, you know, hands to say it's going to go off at, you know, 3:10. Now they say, and the sign says, Old Faithful will go off about every 95 minutes, and they still move the hands so you get to know them. The largest geyser, by the way, out there is Steamboat, and you should see all of them. That's just me, because I've seen them all. And you know what's really neat about the Old Faithful? And the Old Faithful is they actually, it's the only place that, because it's right outside the lodge, they have all these benches set up where people just sit there. Again, and it's pretty neat. You know, they just sit there and they, you know, hang out and they watch. But when it's about that time, it's standing room only for Old Faithful. Just a real neat place to be there. Now, with all these geothermals, you're going to see some of the water is the, I don't know how to describe this blue. Do I say it's aqua blue, teal? It's not quite teal, but it is the most, let me use that M word again, the most magnificent blue you'll ever see. And you just can't describe it. I mean, your photos, and some of the photos don't even do it justice, but you take those photos, and what makes the water so blue, believe it or not, is the water has a bacteria in it that is blue. And that's, so think about this, we have bacteria that have adapted to live in water that is that hot. And everywhere they go, there are signs saying, don't touch the water, don't jump in the water, don't swim in the water, because we're talking about water that's hundreds of degrees, and every year, someone will actually test the water. And I think, once again, I said getting dead is not a good thing. And this has happened, I can't say often, but it's happened in Yellowstone. And one year, there were some boardwalks going through some of the geothermals. And I had just finished my research out in Idaho. So I'm just hanging out. And I'm walking along the boardwalks. And I was working at the U.S. sheep station where there are sheep and cattle. So at the U.S. sheep station, sheep and cattle. So I had a Texas Longhorn hat because that made sense working with cattle. And my hat, I'm walking along the boardwalk, and out of nowhere, a gust of wind comes up and blows the hat off my head. So I go running to the edge of the boardwalk to capture my hat before it's going to land in the water. And a ranger sees me, and again, they're very protective of, and they're doing their job. And the ranger's going, no. He thinks I'm going to jump in the water. And I sort of reach out quickly, and I catch my hat as it's just about to enter the water. And I held up the hat. I said, look, I couldn't lose this hat. And he goes, well, I couldn't lose you. So he was doing his job. Just a neat little story about, and again, just so you understand how hot that water is. And there's one place that is probably one of my more favorite places to go here. If you've never seen a mud pot before, it is this gurgling, because again, it's part of the geothermal features, this gurgling of a mineral mud that gurgles up and just the sound that it makes. So it's two things. It's the image, and I'd love you to take some, not just pictures there, but some video of what's there. And the sound, it's pretty neat, neat to hear. And if you head up to the near the northern gate, Mammoth Springs. When you head up there, you actually see it cascading down these springs. And I'll talk about places you should be staying, you know, when you're outside, you know, when you're in Yellowstone and near Mammoth Springs, near Gardner, one of the must-see things. Now, when you head down near Hayden Valley in that area, you're going to see Yellowstone Lake, a large glaciated lake. If you happen to be a person who loves boating, who loves kayaking, who loves fishing, not stream fishing, but lake fishing, it is, you've planned a day and you've done a day. And I do mean this. There are recharge days. Like you've gone for a couple day hikes and remember you're hiking in the Rockies and you're going, man, I need a break. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Yellowstone Lake is a perfect break to just, you know, meander around in a boat. And they have rentals there to just sit and watch nature and have a lunch, a little picnic. It really is a just beautiful place to be. Well, if you're out in the area, there are horseback rides, you know, with a guide. And guides are also, we'll call them naturalists or semi-naturalists. They're real good. They know the geology. They know the animals. They know the taxonomy of plants, the names of plants and all. And as you're going along with a guide, you know, you will learn so much besides seeing the beauty and also getting to see the beauty in a way that I guess you typically would not see. I mean, you're going to places. And for those of you that may not be a good horseman or horsewoman, one guide said to one time, my niece Kate was out there with me and we were going to go on a guided ride. And she hadn't been on a horse in a while. And he said something really, which I thought was pretty neat, pretty profound. He says, the horses know two ways. They know the way up the trail, and they know the way back down the trail to their stall. And they are so sure-footed, so stable, that when you're going up, they will hike all the way up and get you to the top. You'll spend time, and as soon as you turn your horse around, he's only going to one place, back down, because he knows where his stable is at. And they actually have some llama packing that you can do out there, so you can take a guided ride with some llamas. If you happen to be a biker, there are places that you could rent bikes, and actually in the towns that I'll get to in a little bit, you can also rent bikes there and, you know, head into Yellowstone from that point. If you're a winter person, you want to do some cross-country skiing or snowshoeing. But I will say this, you know, people say, let me tell you, both of those, especially snowshoeing, and I've snowshoed all over the country, they are, without a doubt, some of the greatest fitness sports. You will be snowshoeing. You will be drenched with sweat. So you need to have wicking layers. In one of my shows, I actually talk about how you can dress, you know, for, I don't want to say success, but dress for the outdoors. And I teach you all about that. But I'm going to tell you right now, you need to have that. But once again, the snowshoeing or the cross-country skiing, it's a quiet mode of travel to get you out into the wild where, for example, you might see some otters, something that you would just never get near, but your snowshoes, because now you're using that quiet mode of travel. And for me, I mean, I love, no offense to people, I love getting away from people, because when I get away from people, I see more nature, you know, some more animals and et cetera. So I'd say that it gets back to that fitness level, especially snowshoeing. You do need to be fit before you get there. And you could even rent snowshoes at, you know, your local Campmore or EMS or wherever you're going, you know, by your home. Get a workout in there too, so you understand what it's like to be on them, or cross-country skis, and do some rentals. If you're interested in, we'll call it the noise nature, you can actually rent snowmobiles when you're out at Yellowstone. They have a, happen to have a snow coach. It's like this, almost like this bulldozer tractor wheels, where you, you know, a group goes out, and there's a guide once again. And with the snowmobiles, they also have guides out there. But you see, here's the difference. When you're on horseback and you see something in nature, it's summertime, and the guide can explain exactly what you're looking at. He's saying, that's a bull elk, and you could tell because blah, blah, blah. But when you're on a snowmobile and you're going wee, 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 and you're zipping out all over the place until you stop, because of obviously the noise of the machines, you're not going to be able to, you know exactly what you saw, or have, you know, a greater description at that point. Snow coaches seem to be a good way, because the guides that are on there are very knowledgeable, and you're actually contained within, you know, it's almost like a bus, if that's on tractor tires, or, and you can actually hear him speaking about it. But once again, you make sure, if it's wintertime, because this is the Rocky Mountains, and the saying, this, I know it's Wyoming and a speck of Montana, but the saying in Montana is, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes, it'll change. Because believe me, it does change often out there. So you just need to be prepped. And again, they also have some good winter talks by the rangers as well. So I would recommend that. Now, here's a cool hint for anyone who's going out there. And I'll give you the example of fly fishing or whatever you're going to do out there. You know, sometimes carrying your gear on the plane or getting all of your gear on a plane, that extra cost, and sometimes the extra, your luggage got lost with some of your valuable fishing gear, whatever it is. What I have typically would do is, you already set your motel, so you know where you're going. I would call the motel in advance and say, hey, look, there's a package for Joey B arriving at, and it'll be on these days, and just hold the package for me. And what I often do is I'll send my waders out there and my fishing gear. It's funny. My fly rod itself goes with me personally on the plane. It doesn't leave my backpack, the Joey B Signature Series backpack by Tranquility Mountain. I don't know if you've seen it, but you can go to TranquilityMountain.com and see a new series that I have designed and tested for them. And I take my back, you know, my backpack, you know, it's day pack, and I take it on the plane. They're great day packs, but they're also great if you're going to do a carry-on the plane, because you can put so much gear inside of it. And I designed a sleeve on the side for you to put your fishing rod. But if you're a birder and you want to put your spotting scope, or you have a large water bottle, whatever you want to put in there, real cool sleeve. But anyway, I ship whatever I can out there. So once I get there, my boots, my waders, it's already there. I didn't have to count on that getting packed. I didn't have to count on that extra weight. I didn't have to count on that getting lost, because in one of my return trips from Idaho, and it's a good thing it was a return trip, my luggage was lost for weeks, plural, weeks. So it's a good thing that I was home and had gear. But what happens if you're going in the opposite direction and you're trying to get there? So that shipping to a location is good. And what I typically do is, when I am done, so I'm going to leave tomorrow from the Yellowstone region, I will actually box up. Before I have left, I would always have spoken to a relative and say, hey, look, I am shipping this box to your house. When it gets to you, it's addressed to you, or addressed to you and me. Don't open a box. No, it's not an early birthday gift. It is my gear. So this way I can get the gear home as well. Now, when you go out there, you can actually stay at the lodge. So, and this is something you need to do in advance. The lodge at Yellowstone, call them efficiency type of rooms, and they have them there. And it's amazing. They're not real expensive when you think about the expense of, you know, traveling. There are cabins, and they're more efficiency type of things, not real rustic log cabins, but you can rent those. There are a few, but they are taken up like probably a year or two in advance. There are a few rustic in the middle of nowhere cabins, but most of the cabins that you're renting are like efficiency apartment type of things, but you can rent those. But there are two towns that I'd say you know, if you wanted to go stay outside, and this is me, because once again, trying to get away from the people and all that, I'll talk about North Gate first, and then I'll talk about the West Gate. You might want to get into the town of Gardner in the North Gate. And the reason for this, when you enter through the North Gate, when I say you want the photo op to take a picture with your family, so instead of having the buffalo 10 feet behind you and getting chased and getting dead or whatever, there is the gate there, and it is stone, and it has this beautiful sign from back when Teddy Roosevelt had the national park created, and it is this magnificent thing driving your cars through. So the photo op is there at the North Gate. Gardner is a tiny little town. There's only a few motels. There's actually only a few places to eat. But one of my professors, Dr. James Halfpenny, one of the world's most renowned tracker and stalker of animals. And stalker doesn't mean bad, because you're thinking about like stalking humans. Well, guess what? We learn to stalk animals, go after animals, and track animals the same way that animals track animals. And Dr. James Halfpenny, he likes to be called Jim, and I like to call him Doctor. He lives out there in Gardner, and he also has what's called a naturalist world. And you can go out there and visit a naturalist world. And I would contact Dr. Halfpenny first, but he has classes that are out there, and he'll teach you tracking. He'll teach you ecology. They'll take you out to see the Northern Lights. He'll take you for wildlife observation. But he probably has every plaster cast of every animal in Yellowstone. So if you wanted to see what a grizzly bear print looks like, bang, the track, it's there. If you want to see bighorn sheep, bang. If you want to see a weasel, it's so he's got all of that. So Gardner, good place, but my favorite place, and I'd say my favorite place because, you know, it gives me access to the park, and it just gives me access to, I guess, remember I saying it's like you're done with the day, you're doing a day hike or fishing or something like that, and you want to come back, and it's at West Yellowstone. But if you have a question or a topic for me, you can tweet me at Joey B News. That's at J-O-U-I-B-E-E News. And we might use your question on a future podcast, future show for us. Now, at West Yellowstone, you see, I am the like wake up early in the morning type of guy, want to get out. And I already know that if I want to get in the park, I can zip over to Ernie's and go pick up like one of the best sandwiches to take into the park. So you see, as you get to places over and over, you get to know, where to go. And as I mentioned to you, I probably have mentioned to you 8 million times on 8 million shows that I fly fish myself all across America. I do all types of fishing because when we're filming on camera, there's times I have to fish, bait cast, spin, etc. So I do it all, but if my choice is to fly fish. This is like the fly fisherman's paradise, West Yellowstone, because there are all these fly fishing shops that are out there. You could take a walk in, browse around. They have every piece of gear that you could imagine. And if you go over to Bob Jacklin's fly shop out there, Bob Jacklin, a friend of mine, you just tell him that Joey B said hello. Bob Jacklin and I have filmed a few. Actually, one of the neater things I filmed Bob Jacklin is he did a piece on trick casting. And with trick casting, he did these magical things, and every time he was finished, the fly would end up exactly where he needed it to go. So, you know, you can get out there, ask all different fly shops, ask some questions about where to fish, what flies to use. One of the things that most fly fishermen will actually have their thumb on the fly rod at the base, at the handle, and Bob Jacklin uses his index finger, and I've gone over to Bob's way, and again, maybe because he's a friend, maybe because he's just great at what he does, but I use that technique, and it's brought me quite a bit of success in my fly fishing. And at West Yellowstone, you see, you can go to many places, and I would recommend it across America to see, you know, almost like find a bit of American history. And when you're at West Yellowstone, there is a local rodeo. And at the local rodeo, and I am saying it's small scale, you actually have, and this is what America is all about, you actually have like in the roping, you might have a header and a heeler. But the header and the heeler, it's a grandfather and a grandson. You know, instead of going for these top purses, meaning money, top prizes, they're just out there having fun. And it's a family affair. And once again, my niece Kate was there one time with me. And we're sitting in these tiny little bleachers. And we're sitting there with next to a family. So we start to chat with them. And they're going, yeah, mom's going to be on the barrels. So like the kids are all excited that their mother is a barrel racer. And, you know, we're chatting with them. And when mom is done doing the barrels, she comes over and sits in the stands. You get to meet her. You walk around and you talk about, like, what America is all about. Like, this is it. It is just really one of the, and I always say this, one of the cooler places. So what I'm going to say to you is this. It is your job to go create a bucket list. Find yourself in Yellowstone National Park, and it's your job to enjoy all that nature has to offer. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure.
That was awesome.